It's 107.7 The Bone, baby Huey and Chast here. And Chast, look at this. This show we've been looking forward to ever since they pretty much announced it.
Yeah.
Trivium, Arch Enemy, While She Sleeps, and Fit for an Autopsy is going to be at the Regency Ballroom here in San Francisco, Tuesday, November 28th, tomorrow night. Get your tickets now at theregencyballroom.com. It seems fitting we talk to one of our good friends on the line right now.
Rockstar turned friend Matt Heafy of Trivium. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? Just in Sacramento here today. Woke up to find out the show is sold out.
Yes!
And, pretty crazy, yeah, because like most of this tour is sold out, which is amazing. And so we're really happy to see that North America is really, really picking up for us. The shows have been unlike anything we've ever seen before, like freaking insane. Like having to stop the show in multiple cities because people can't control themselves.
Yes. The mission accomplished then, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. So
really cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. I've been following you guys, you know, on Instagram, and you guys been posting every sold out show. And I'm like, damn, Canada's all sold out. A bunch of the more recent shows as well. So, I mean, yeah, it's incredible. So, yeah, let's just talk about right off the bat just some of the highlights so far of this tour.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the fact that the whole Canada run was completely sold out was amazing. Even though it was 0 degrees at a couple of the shows, which is friggin' terrible for someone from Florida.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Zero is horrific. But also, like, really interesting specific cities like Charlotte and Kansas City were two of the most violently insane crowds we've ever had in the States ever.
Really? Yeah, like, how so? What happened?
Like, more crowd service than we've ever seen, more pits than we've ever seen. Actually having to stop the show due to fights.
Yeah, which one?
And we're not like the kind of band that instigates any kind of violence or anything intense like that. But I think people have just been so into it that they just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Well, I saw that. And you were doing a Portrayer, right? And you had to stop in the middle of the song. Which city was that in?
That was Kansas City.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, specifically like Kansas City, Charlotte, Vancouver. There have been a couple other like... where historically the crowds are kind of tame.
Mm-hmm.
We've had friends who live in these cities like, man, we've never really seen the crowds do too much. And they're freaking going insane during your set. So it's really cool. I don't know what it is. Like a lot of people have been asking why now, what's happening. I mean, I think a part of it is that we finally have four dudes in the band who can all play everything from our catalog.
Yeah.
And we're really delivering. I feel like finally I've got my voice figured out, which is something that I've always been struggling with, but now it's like, it's there.
You've got it locked in.
Screaming, whatever it may be, it's there. We have an amazing front of house guy, amazing light guy. Everyone seems to love our new record because our band has always been very polarizing between our own fans. It's through records 1 through 7, we'll have fans that love like number 6 and don't like number 3, or people love number 2 and hate number 4. And now this is the record that all Trivium fans agree on, which is great.
I have a question about like that moment of a show when you're the front man, so you see everything. What is that moment where you go, S is getting real, like we need to stop down? Do you see someone get punched out? Do you see someone hit the floor and not come up? Does someone off stage give you a signal of like, we got to chill it out? Like, how do you know when that moment is?
Thankfully, I can tell seconds before it happens, so nothing ever happens.
You can feel like the energy.
Yes, yeah. Kansas City, I saw a small little circle open up that didn't look like people weren't smiling anymore because our shows are really positive. And
right.
I know
yeah.
I kind of just centralized on something negative, but that's what's interesting is I think people are getting so hyped up they don't know what to do other than try to punch someone in the face.
Right.
But yeah, so it's thankfully seconds before the Kansas City, I kind of saw like a space between the two, a guy kind of cocked his fist back, and then I said, stop the show. Everybody separated to these two guys, and then that was it.
Yeah, that's nuts.
And then everybody, yeah, so it's usually like, thankfully, I could tell the seconds before anyone ever gets hurt. Like our Roseland Ballroom show, there were so many crowd surfers during in waves, actually during the whole set, that security had never done anything like that, had never worked a show with that many crowd surfers, nor do we even call for crowd surfers.
Right.
So, like, there was a girl, like, maybe there was, like, 7 to 10 crowd surfers going across the barricade at the same time.
Jesus.
And we saw a girl all in the super far right that there was no security guard to catch her. So we had to like tell our security guard to jump down and catch her.
Oh my.
Caught her before she landed. Yeah. So we've gotten really good at making sure we prevent or help anything before anything bad ever happens. Cause like I said, our shows are not particularly violent. I think people are just so amped up and so excited. They just have been going insane.
Yeah. Well, San Francisco, now we know where the bar is.
Yeah, come on, San Francisco, step it up.
Be cool, but don't be violent. Now, you love San Francisco. You've made that known to us. We went out to breakfast last time you were here. What do you love about San Francisco so much? It seems like you kind of make it sort of like a little mini vacay when you're here.
Oh, yeah. I love it there so much. The food, drinks, the people, coffee, the culture, art, everything. Like, I think that San Francisco really has it figured out. And that's the thing we keep trying to bring back to Orlando, that sense of wanting to be great at something independently, wanting to make something on your own and make it work. And that's what I love about that city so much. And Paulo, Ashley, and myself, we all get tattooed there. So we actually fly all the way from Orlando just to get tattooed in San Francisco, which is pretty crazy because it's a far flight just to get tattooed.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we get tattooed at Tattoo City on Lombard Street. And for San Francisco, I do need to tell them that the best crowd we've seen this entire tour has been New York City. And okay. No one has topped them. And New York City was like show 6 or 7 on this run, and now the run is almost over.
Okay.
So hopefully they can pull together and beat them. And I've been letting every city know that it's been New York, and no one has topped them yet. But people have tried.
All right, San Francisco, let's do it.
This is the king of thrash.
That's true.
The Bay Area, we're the home of thrash music. We need to step it up.
But we got to follow up with you afterwards, and you got to let us know like if we topped in New York or not. Because if not, then lashings for everyone.
Yes, I'll let you guys know, and I will let the crowd know.
All right, good.
It's been so fun. It's so fun. Like this tour, not only do I feel like finally Trivium has really figured out their live thing. Like we've always had it figured out to a degree, but I feel like now we've really gotten it down with the chemistry between the four of us and band and the new record. All the bands in this run are amazing. These are all bands we're fans of. I've been listening to Arch Enemy since I was like 17 years old.
Right.
While She Sleeps and Fit for an Autopsy are two bands we're listening to before, during, and after making Sin in the Sentence. And I listen to Fit for an Autopsy every day that I do jiu-jitsu at home. So it's like these are bands we really love and believe in. I think that's one of the things about this tour that people are really gravitating towards, that it's just such a genuine, heavy tour.
Yeah.
It's like it's something that people can really connect to and feel.
That's awesome. Well, so Matt, also Chas and I, we got to give you a big thank you. So back in August, if you remember, I texted you beforehand because Chas and I had a big interview with Kirk Hammett and Metallica at Outside Lands. And so Chas and I were kind of like, oh, what can we ask him that's like different or unique? And I know you're cool with Kirk Hammett. So I just want to thank you again for the help as far as asking like favorite foods and stuff. And Chasta, what was the answer? He just said burritos.
Burritos.
Right?
It spurned us into a whole burrito conversation about that. If that was like the last food he ever ate, would be burritos in the Mission, because you got to eat burritos in the Mission in San Francisco.
So thank you for that.
So cool. Yeah, of course. And actually, Kirk Hammett, I mean, everyone knows we wouldn't exist without Metallica, and I wouldn't exist without Kirk. But what's really cool is when we did, when we first met them and did some festivals with them in Europe, Kirk actually took us out to dinner in Amsterdam, took us out to like this amazing sushi place. So that's how we all kind of first got to know each other pretty well. Yeah, it's awesome.
It's so funny. Your spirit reminds me a lot of Kirk. Like hanging out with the two of you, you guys are kind of kindred spirits, I think, because you're both like, he's big into yoga, you're big into jujitsu. Like you guys have this like thrash metal thing, but then also this very calm Zen thing that you two really share.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
It's funny because like a lot of people who aren't like my mom, let's just take my mom, right? If my mom was like, if I told her, yeah, I'm interviewing this guy from a band called Trivium, they're like thrash metal, she'd be like, oh, scary, like thrash metal, right? Like if people who don't know, and it always amazes me when I meet and get to know some rock stars in that genre, they're totally not like that. Like it's very posy and very like high energy, but like zen and cool. There's such a really interesting mix in metal, I think.
Yeah, there really is. That's one of my favorite things about touring is like meeting band guys and finding out what they're into and what they like. And I've gotten into all the great things in life thanks to touring. And I think that comes into play when a musician goes into life with an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
That means they're willing to try everything and see what they may like. And things like food and yoga and jiu-jitsu and all these different bands I fall in love with in my life are all thanks to touring, and it's thanks to metal and heavy music. So it is really cool. I love finding out like bands that are super into coffee or super into food.
Exactly.
Or
yeah.
Into training. Yeah. Like I've been able to do jiu-jitsu with a lot of band guys like Herman from Dragon Force or Billy from Biohazard.
Right.
And it's been great to be able to find this new community through all sorts of things, even gaming. Like, I was playing competitive Call of Duty last night with Joe, the singer of Fit for an Autopsy, and Corey, our guitar player, at like a late Thanksgiving we were having yesterday at our tour manager's house. So
that's so cool.
Really cool to have all those different things. Yeah.
It's pretty neat to follow you guys on Instagram too. By the way, like I follow your wife as well. I have a huge woman crush on your wife. She is not only one of the prettiest humans, but she's like so put together. She does her calligraphy. Like she's so stunning. Are you bringing her to San Francisco? Is she with you?
Yes, she is with us right now.
I figured as much.
Yeah, so she'd love to see you guys.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys have some time tomorrow, let us know. We can do something, breakfast or dinner or something.
That would be awesome. Yeah, we would love
totally.
To.
I would love that.
Make it a San Francisco tradition.
San Francisco treat.
Yeah. But it is kind of... What's that?
Sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, it's kind of interesting with, like, you know, Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all that. Like, you know, I've only met you in person once, but I feel like I know you and Ashley and your sweet little dog so well. Like, is it weird to you that your fans get that close to you? Like, they probably feel like they're a family member of yours because they see your daily life and everything you eat.
I mean, I really like that part of it. And what we do, because I see some bands that take social media to too far in opposite directions, too far of this unattainable, where it's like they're renting fake expensive cars and pretending that those are theirs. I've
totally.
Seen that end.
Yep.
And I've seen the other end where bands, it's like way too much information. Like, hey, here's me on the toilet.
Yep.
Here's a picture of my face after I got in a fight with my spouse. It's like those kinds of things. I like to make it right in the middle where it's like positive stuff.
Because
that's what our band is here for. Our band is here to be a positive outlet for people. And I figure if they're going to pop into our socials, they can see like the fun stuff that we do. Like I'm about to finish like a day in the life video that I've been doing on my phone that I'll post to my YouTube. And I also do video game streaming now on Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I've kind of grown a decent following on there. And that's like been a whole other fun thing to show people what else I like, where we can just hang out and play video games and people can talk about fun stuff. And so that's Keechee Chaos Reigns on twitch.tv. And then my YouTube is Matthew Keechee Hafey on YouTube.
Nice.
So it's, I like to give all these different things, but I make sure it's not, I mean, I don't go into any extraneous nonsense or anything dark and sad and annoying.
Yeah. You're like, just a real relatable human who happens to be a rock star.
I try.
That's awesome. So, Matt, I'm actually looking forward to tomorrow night because, one, I mean, just seeing you guys, it's been a quick minute since you've been here in the Bay Area, but, two, to see your new drummer, Alex, live in person. So, I mean, I've seen, you know, he's put together some video clips on his YouTube page and stuff, live performance, but I'm super stoked to see him live. And I don't know if I have a chance to tell you this story, how I actually met him earlier this summer. So, back in the summertime, I went down the Shoreline in Mountain View to go see Avenged Sevenfold and A Day to Remember. And I'm walking out of Shoreline and I see Alex walking with his wife and I'm like, I think that's Alex from Trivium.
Wait, but I don't know if you're telling the story right. Didn't Alex recognize you?
No.
I think he called you out, didn't he?
No.
I think he did. I think you're being shy.
Well, no, I see him walking and I'm like, hey, man, are you Alex from Trivium? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, dude, like, I'm a big fan. And then I said, hey, I'm Baby Q. I work at the rock station here in San Francisco. And he's like, oh, yeah. And then I was like, I saw on Instagram, do you live in Modesto? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, that's so cool that you're up here in Northern California. So
one of our own, kind of.
Yeah. So we started talking for a hell of long in the parking lot. But it was cool to come to find out, like, he has family from Alameda, where I'm from, and just super small world. But he's such an awesome dude. Talk to him and his wife as well. So, I mean, I'm just, for you guys, just how awesome he's been performing live with you. But also, I mean, I know you're probably kind of tired of answering this question, but just in case anyone here in the Bay Area might not know, how'd you guys find Alex, and then what does he bring to the band that no other drummer previously was able to do?
Yeah, Alex is amazing. He's just sweet, amazing, normal, yet exceptional human being. Like, one of the best drummers I've ever played with in my entire life. Not one of the best drummers I've ever seen. So when we kind of knew it was time again to switch yet again, which is, it's not something we'd like to do, not something we've ever wanted to do, but what's great about Alex and about the Sin of the Sentence, when people hear him live or people hear him on the record for the first time, it's not a question of why did you get Alex anymore. Now they're like, oh, now I understand what you've been looking for your entire career.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is great. So when we knew it was time to do a swap again, because we've had, including Alex now, we've had 4 studio drummers.
Yeah.
yeah.
We've had other live musicians for all sorts of positions in our band. Mm-hmm. But as far as studio drummers go, we've had 4. And when we knew it was time to get our 4th studio drummer, I contacted one of our good friends, Mark Lewis. He engineered the Crusade.
Okay.
And I asked him, hey man, who do you have for us? We need someone. We need the drummer to end all drummers. And the first name he said back was Alex Bent. And he was wanting to, recommend Alex Bent to us before when we were looking for a live drummer on the Silence of the Snow Cycle, but Alex was in Battlecross and Testament at the time.
Okay.
So thankfully this time he was like kind of in between cycles and we're like, that's the guy. So we had him send us some videos of Rain and World, and we did it all discreetly. We're like, all right, Mark, tell Alex that he needs to shoot 2 Trivium videos, but it's not Trivium that's asking, and don't tell him don't tell them that it's me that's asking for these videos. So we did that, did it really discreetly. I saw them. I presented to the guys that this is the drummer I recommend for our band. And everyone said, all right, let's fly him out. Let's play with him. Let's see how it is. He flew down, played material from all seven records, nailed them. And I think the biggest thing, what we've always been looking for, is a drummer who can play everything from all of our records. We've had drummers that are amazing at technical stuff, then maybe not so amazing at the rock stuff. Had drummers that are amazing at the rock stuff and not so good at the technical stuff. It's really hard to find that drummer that can play both extremes on opposite ends and everything in between. Mm-hmm. And thankfully with Alex, he could do all of that.
That's nice. With Alex being in your band, you know, we've been talking about taking it to the next level because this tour has been sold out in so many areas. It's pretty incredible. And it's really cool, like, to have you as a friend and see you guys rise into your success. It's just, it's really neat to see that. And another big thing came out. Congrats on order for Rock on the Range. You guys are going to be part of Rock on the Range for 2018.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a really fun festival.
Yep.
And we're definitely bringing it on that festival.
Yeah. What bands are you looking forward to playing with this year or next year, I guess I should
say? Tool and Avenged. That's going to be amazing. I just saw that they're on a poster. That's going to be really cool.
Yeah, that's it. That's a pretty good lineup just right there.
Yeah, we're close friends with Avenged, so we've always been able to see them over the years. But Tool is a band I've never seen live.
What?
And actually, Trivium, yeah.
Oh, my God, I've seen them like 17 times, I think, or something like that. Although I've only seen Maynard like twice.
Yes.
Because he's usually behind the kit.
Yeah.
Hiding like a little creep.
We covered Stinkfist back when I was like, man, when I was like 13 or 14.
Wow.
That's, so awesome.
That's a pretty heavy song to cover as a 13-year-old.
I know. So when I was just a guitar player, we covered that. And hopefully Maynard's down to train because we both do Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I think he's a brown belt. I'm a purple belt. Hopefully he's up for it. I don't know. I don't know him personally. I heard he's awesome. So if he's down to train, I am down to train as well.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, totally.
You got to do a video. He just released a video not too long ago. So you should try to get a video for your YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If he's in, I'm in. I'm ready.
Yeah. It's been kind of an interesting time. Baby Huey and I have talked about this a lot in the interviews that we've done with rock and metal and punk, like all these huge festivals that have come and a lot of them have gone. Ozfest, Mayhem, we even heard Warped Tour. Next year is going to be the last one. Mm-hmm. What are your feelings on these festivals? Do you like the festivals or do you like more package tours?
I mean, I think festivals are absolutely essential. Like, festivals are what's necessary to make your headliners happen, because that's where you get new fans. Like, when we played the Charlotte show, we asked the crowd, hey, who here has seen us at Carolina Rebellion? It was like 75% of the crowd.
Wow.
So, like, and I'm not saying that those are all new fans, but maybe half of the crowd were new fans that we got through a festival. So it's really essential. I think the ones that are destination festivals are really the key for America. I feel like the festivals that are a traveling festival always seem to kind of burn out a little bit. I don't know why. I've seen it happen in Australia. I've seen it happen in America. It seems like the ones that are one-offs, that are specific things like Rock in the Range or like Wacken Open Air in Germany or like Download England or Download Paris, these things that aren't traveling package tour festivals.
Right.
I think they need to have those lines very distinct. This is a package tour. This is a festival. And I think that's when they succeed.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, maybe it's a financial issue or a burnout issue. You know, we talked to a lot of people on Warped Tour and they were exhausted. You know, I mean, it's exhausting to build a city every single night in a new place.
I agree with that. I think that they're kind of trying to bring the package club tour as a festival, which logistically just doesn't always make sense.
Yeah.
So the other thing, Matt, I want to ask is what I love about the new album is that I've seen, like, even from other music critics who are also on the same page with me, is that for The Sin and The Sentence, it seems to really feature, like, the best qualities from all the previous Trivium albums. So was that something intended, or was that your goals as a band when writing this new album? Like, how was that when you guys were heading in the studio? Was that part of your plans? Like, okay, let's take the best from all our previous work?
Our thing was, before we ever started conceptualizing this thing as a band, we said this next record has to be the greatest thing we've ever done, mm-hmm. or there's no point in carrying on as a band.
Wow.
So we set that very difficult, dark task first, like, hey, if this thing isn't the greatest, we should call it quits. Mm. Not for any other reason than, what's the point if we're not going to make the best thing we've ever made? Like, why be in a band and not deliver the greatest thing we can for the people to support us? So thankfully, the stuff we started coming up with was some of that best stuff. But what we wanted to do is not look back to recreate anything we've done, but we wanted to look back and see what were the conditions that we made things that were great. Like, we look back at our favorite personal records, like my personal favorite records. While I love everything, would probably be Ascendancy and Waves mm-hmm. first. and then it would go down some kind of specific order. And we didn't say, let's make the sound of those records, but how did we make those records? And the way we made those records was the four of us in the band in a room together playing everything before we ever set foot in the studio, making sure we knew everything by muscle memory and that we knew exactly what we were doing and that we believed in it and loved it and made the kind of music that we wanted to hear as fans of music and not making the kind of music that we thought people wanted to hear. Wow. And when we went back to that old school mentality, I feel like that's when we made some of the best stuff we've ever made.
Damn, love hearing that. Well, it really shows, and honestly, I think your new album might be my favorite one of 2017. It's just badass.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing, I think you're doing, what, about four songs live?
Yeah, we're doing Thrown Into the Fire, Betrayer, Heart From Your Hate, and Sin of the Sentence, and then we're doing stuff from records 2 through 7.
Okay, perfect. Love nice. It. Can't wait for it.
Yeah.
I know you got a busy schedule, just a couple more for you. So I just looked at, you know, the calendar, and I know, like, next year will be the 10th anniversary of Shogun's release. So just curious, any plans to celebrate that feat?
I mean, we'll probably do like a song. We've definitely seen that there are a lot of bands doing 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, we always like to do the opposite of what everyone else is doing. So we see a lot of people doing 10 years. We're like, all right, maybe we should do 15 or 20 instead. So we like to set it because 10 years is easy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I feel like the 15, 20 is hard.
Yeah.
maybe we'll do something like bring back playing Shogun and bring back a specific piece of merch or something like that.
Okay.
Or, you know, sell the record on that tour that we're on, like the actual vinyl.
Nice.
That kind of thing. Cool. So we're headed very quickly into 2018. What, 4 weeks, 5 weeks left, I think, something like that? What are your 2018 plans? Obviously, we talked about Rock on the Range, but what else do you guys have up your sleeve? Any surprises? Anything breaking news?
Yeah, in March, we're going out on the UK European headlining tour with, well, we thought this North American bill was sick. That European tour is freaking insane.
It's, I know.
Premium, Code Orange, Power Trip, and Venom Prison.
I'm so jealous.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I just saw Power Trip 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Dude,
they're
that's going to be amazing.
So it's like three of the best up-and-coming heavy bands and us. And I think that it's going to be amazing.
I know.
It's going to be really, really good.
I want to get like a ticket and go overseas now because I saw Power Trip 2 weeks ago with Cannibal Corpse. And I was like, I saw them at Aftershock. I mean, that's like one of my new favorite bands. Just
you know what,
badass.
Hugh, you haven't taken a vacation in a long time. I vote that you do that for yourself.
Matt, can I stay on your bus?
Yeah, dude. Hey, man, if you want to come on out, I recommend you come out to the London show.
Okay.
Oh, you got your tickets and passes on us. You should come to that show. That's going to be like we sold 1,400 tickets in an hour for that show.
Whoa.
And the show was like 7 months away.
Where are you playing in London?
The Brixton.
Oh, yeah. I went to a show really there big. 20 years ago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you guys want to come out to that, tickets on me.
Dude, okay. Let's
all
do
right.
it.
We'll coordinate it. Let me start
going
saving now.
Trivia.
No Christmas presents. I'm saving up.
Too bad we work in radio and make radio money, or I would just buy that for you for Christmas.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Yeah, but we work in radio, so I'm not. Let's be clear. All right, Matt. So one more question for you, and it's a question that we ask all of our rock stars, so I want to make sure we get yours because I know it'll be a deep, thoughtful answer. The movie Almost Famous, the last scene, our favorite question is asked, what do you love about music? And don't worry, the pause is part of the answer. Everyone always everyone always takes a moment.
Such a good question. I love what I love about music. I love that it's led me to everything in life that I love. It's led me to meeting my wife, to getting into Brazilian jiu-jitsu, to getting into gaming like at another level that I ever had before, getting into food more than I've ever been before, yoga, and seeing the world and meeting all these people and being able to have something that connects with people around the world, regardless of language, belief, anything. That's what I love about metal. It's not about what divides you. It's about what connects you with other people. And that's what I always push with this band and what I push with our music, that even though people may all come from different beliefs of politics, religion, lifestyle, whatever it may be, mm-hmm. when you come into Trivium, all that stuff turns off and it's just about what we have in common.
Yeah.
And that's thanks to music.
And that is why we asked that question.
Love
because
it.
We get answers like that. Beautiful, Matt.
That is awesome.
Beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Well, Matt, hey, listen,
awesome,
thank you so much. We look forward to tomorrow night. Trivium, Arch Enemy, While She Sleeps, and Fit for an Autopsy will be at the Regency Ballroom here in San Francisco. Get your tickets ASAP at theregencyballroom.com. Doors at 5:30. It's an early one.
It is early,
Showtime, 6:30. And, of course, get Trivium's new album, The Sin and the Sentence. Get either iTunes or be like me. Go to your local record store and support the local stores and get it. And, Matt, hey, listen, thank you so much for making the time today.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Let's stay in touch today over text. Figure out if we can grab a bite tomorrow.
That would be
Sounds
awesome.
Good.
Let's do it.
Cool. All right, Matt. Well, good luck tonight in Sacramento, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
See you tomorrow.
Awesome, guys.
Cool.
Take care.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.